Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
FSD Gin Nation. What is up? What has happened? We are on to week 14. The season just keeps flying by. But here we are. You know, heck, we're not even that far, what, 4 or 5 weeks away from the NFL playoffs, which is one of my favorite times of the year for DFS. But I digress. We have week 14 to focus on. Maddie, back again, rocking with us, as always.
As always.
As always. So the dynamic duo. How are you living?
Doing good, man. This is definitely an interesting slate, so I'm excited to hop in and chat about this one. We've got, you know, a couple games that are going to be – could be high scoring, and then the rest of the slate is under a 44 Vegas total. So definitely interested to talk through this one with you.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be interesting this week. You know, hey, you know, at first it was looking like the Steelers Vikings game on Thursday night was going to be absolutely dog water, but you know, they've kind of made it a little interesting. You know, still 9 minutes left in the game, but
yep.
Anyways, let's just jump right into it. So as we always do, we go position by position, and let's start off with the quarterback position. So we have Patrick Mahomes at the top at 8K. We have Josh Allen at 7,800. Tom Brady at 7,600. Lamar Jackson at 74, Justin Herbert at 71, Dak Prescott at 6,700, Russell Wilson at 66, Ryan Tannehill at 64, and Joe Burrow at 6K rounds out the top guys. So as you already know, Josh Allen is definitely gonna and Tom Brady are probably gonna carry some of the most ownership in this game. And then you have, you know, the other game with Patrick Mahomes. So the top three guys is where, you know, a lot of people are gonna want to play. I think that the one quarterback I think you're going to bring up that I absolutely agree with is Dak Prescott, I think, could end up being leverage off all of these guys. So, Maddie, tell me where you're rocking this week.
Yeah, so I've recently been trying to pay down at QB, and that might not change this week. If I'm paying up, it's probably going to be for Tom Brady. It seems like Leonard Fournette is coming in as the highest on running back on this slate, and if that's the case, I'm just going to be – you know, opposite the field and load up on the highest total game of the week in that Tampa Bay game and just play the greatest quarterback of all time and play Tom Brady. So I know people are going to talk about Buffalo's number one ranked pass defense, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, Tom Brady can throw, you know, 4 touchdowns on pretty much anybody. So I think he's very interesting if paying up. Outside of that, we mentioned earlier in our chat that there's a possibility Tony Pollard might miss the game for the Cowboys because he tore something in his foot on that long touchdown run he had against the Saints last Thursday night. And if that's the case, Zeke is already banged up and he's, you know, struggling to get through games at this point. And, you know, they're not going to give Corey Clement, who's the number three on that roster, a ton of run. And it would essentially just fall on Dak's shoulders to throw more than they have been. So, I definitely think Dak would be very interesting if Tony Pollard were to miss that game. I would give him a boost. Other than that, Jimmy Garoppolo, 5,800, is somebody that I have interest in against Cincinnati. San Francisco is likely to be without Elijah Mitchell. He's in concussion protocol, and he's still not practicing. So Jeff Wilson is slated to be the number one running back, and he's dealing with a knee injury himself, but he practiced in full today. Then you got Jermichael Hasty coming back off an ankle injury, and they just signed Brian Hill off of, you know, the street. So it's a running back room that, you know, dealing with banged up guys. You don't have Elijah Mitchell in there. Cincinnati, you know, they've been good against the run this year. They've not been as good against the pass. So Jimmy G and the San Francisco pass offense is definitely interesting to me. And then It sounds like Taysom Hill is good to go, assuming he is still the starting quarterback. It's really, really hard to not play him at 5,600 against the New York Football Jets. That may be where I start my teams. And we saw, you know, the value that he provides with his legs just last week against Dallas. I mean, 11 attempts for 101 rush yards, racked up 28 DK points. And we saw it last year too. You know, he had, you know, I don't think he had less than 18 and was scoring in the 20s regularly. And he's still only 5,600. And he should be the starting QB here against the worst defense in the NFL. So Taysom Hill is probably, as of right now, where I'm going to start my builds this week, assuming he plays.
And I assume, are you just going to play him naked, or are you going to pair him with like Alvin Kamara? Or
I'll probably end up playing him naked because of his price and because of his rushing upside is really what unlocks his upside for him. It's kind of similar to how I've been playing Tyrod the last couple of weeks. And then I played Minshew last week, which obviously, you know, pairing Minshew with Goddard was the stone nuts, but the Saints offense, I mean, we always see them, you know, random guys will hit with monster scores, you know. It was Deontay Harris last week. We've seen Callaway have, you know, two catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. We've, you know, Traquan Smith can go out there and you know, have a decent enough game that Taysom Hill's having a good game, but Traquan's not really paying off his salary. You know, they can get tight ends involved. They can throw to running backs, which they've got three of them. There's just a lot of different ways that the Saints can attack you with not, you know, great players, but, you know, a lot of different role-playing guys. And it's just hard to have confidence in pairing one of them with the QB. Now, the Philly situation was a little different, right, with Minshew, because you got one of two options, right? That offense, if they're going to throw more, is going to flow through Dallas Goedert or Devontae Smith. It's not really going to flow through anybody else. So the fact that Dallas Goedert had a monster week attached to Minshew did not really surprise me. And I don't necessarily think that there's going to be a similar situation like that with the Saints. And I'm assuming you just saw Kirk Cousins throw an interception because you were looking at the TV and shaking your head. So classic Kirk Cousins.
I know. I look over and I see the Steelers. I'm like, wait, what's happened? I'm like, oh, here we go. There we go. All right. So the Steelers still have life because they're right down inside at least a 20 yard. Yeah. They're almost inside the goal or inside the red zone. So Steelers might make a game of this again. So anyways, so for me, I think that one, I'm going to have interest in Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think that he is going to have the interest that he should. And yes, Patrick Mahomes, especially lately, has not played as well as what we've seen. But the last time we saw Patrick Mahomes play really well was against this very same Raiders defense. You know, Patrick Mahomes is the highest priced quarterback on the slate, but they do have the highest implied point total as well at 28.75, which is higher than the Bucks and the Bills for that matter. So, you know, this is also as an offense that's going to throw a ball a ton. You know, they're second most in pass plays per game. It was kind of one interesting stat that I was kind of interested in, but that I was a little bit surprised by, but they're actually fourth in deep ball attempts. And so much has been made this year about taking away the deep ball and them not really throwing deep, considering that he is actually fourth in deep ball. Oh yeah. Patty Fry touchdown. So that's good there. Anyways, but he's also fifth in air yards. He's ninth in red zone completion percentage. He's only 27th in deep ball completion percentage. But like I said, the last time they played this team, he threw for 400 yards and five touchdowns in that game against you know, on the road against the Raiders. And the Raiders do allow the ninth most DK points to quarterbacks. And I think he's decent leverage off of, you know, the high owned, you know, Brady and Allen, And so I like Patrick Mahomes at his price. And I think if you want to get different, because Tyreek is looking like he is going to be chalk this week at 8,500, I think just go play Travis Kelce, who's still probably going to be the highest owned tight end, but his ownership is much lower at what, 9-10%. And then I think if you really want to get different, put one of the running backs in there with Patrick Mahomes and soak up all of this, because I think this game could go off here. And so, you know, I really like going that direction with Patrick Mahomes. And then, you know, I 100% agree. Dak Prescott at $6,700 is a great spot. You know, and the interesting too is like that's how you attack Washington is through the air. Like you know, they are much better against the run than they are against the pass, and so everything's setting up for this to be a big time Dak Prescott type game. And at 6,700, you compare him with his pass catchers, and you know I think that makes for a really solid stack. And I think if you want to run it back, like I don't mind. You know, I know Terry McLaurin hasn't been great, but he has it in him to. Be a solid option. I think you could go RSJ if he comes back as well as a run back option in this offense. So I do like Dak quite a bit. If I'm paying down a quarterback, one quarterback you did not bring up that I'm going to have a lot of interest in that I will probably that you also could play naked is Cam Newton. He's only 5,400, gets a great matchup against Atlanta. I know the last time he played, he did not look very good at all. You know, he scored 8.81 DK points that game. 5 for 21, just an embarrassing performance by him. But you know they had the bye. I actually think that playing him without Christian McCaffrey, because they're going to have to rely on him more to run the ball. I think especially once they get down inside the goal line, he's going to get far more opportunities down there to be able to put up some points as well. And so Cam Newton, I think, is in a great spot at 5,400. People are going to. Are going to you know be afraid, especially with recency bias, with the last time that he played. And I just think other people are going to want to go in much different spots. And so, especially with Taysom Hill only 5,600 playing the Jets, you know, only $200 more, I just don't think people are going to get to Cam Newton. And I think that's a mistake. Like, Cam Newton has 30-point upside in him. And he can definitely get there. And so, you know, we saw, you know, the week before that where he put up 26.16 in that game. You know, on the back of three touchdowns, one was rushing, 10 rushing attempts, 46 yards. And so I like Cam Newton here at this price tag, and I don't think he's going to be nearly as popular as he should be.
Yeah, I looked at Cam Newton originally when I took a first pass through pricing, and I just feel way better about playing Taysom Hill against the Jets than I do about Cam Newton, just because of how bad Cam has looked. But the Atlanta defense is bad enough that I don't know that it really matters. Right. Another guy in that same price range. I didn't hear if you mentioned him, but Heinicke on the other side of that Dallas game. I think he's interesting at his price tag of 5,600. So definitely another interesting cheap way to get exposure to the second highest total game on the slate.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think just a few, what about Russ Wilson? Do you have any, 6,600 against Houston, eventually this passing offense is going to have to get things going. I know that, you know, with Houston, I think Davis Mills, I think, is expected to start in that game. Like, maybe they don't have to. Maybe they just try to run the ball. But, like, they don't have any good running backs, you know? Like who are they going to rely on? Adrian Peterson, Rashad Penny? You know, I like Rashad Penny, but the guy can never stay healthy. But they don't have anybody that you, like, you can truly depend on to sit there and just run the ball right down their throat. And so I think Russ, like, this could be a big-time Russ spot inside a dome, you know, on the road against Houston that everybody just kind of – we look back on this week. I would not have any run back option here probably. I mean, maybe you could talk me into Brandon Cooks, maybe. But, you know, if you want to run back. But, like, I don't think you have to. I don't think it's required. And I think going Russ with, you know, DK or Tyler Lockett, I guess you could get exposure to this without doing that and just paying some of his pass catchers and not going with a stack here. But I think this could end up being a stack that is one that ends up being overlooked. And then, I mean, Justin Herbert would make so much sense here, but I don't know. Like, can Mike Glennon do anything to push them?
He's not even starting. It's Jake Fromm.
No, Mike Glennon.
They ruled him in?
Yeah.
He got cleared?
Yeah, he cleared concussion protocol.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't even matter between the two. So the answer is no.
He was limited. He was back at practice today. So it sounds like Mike Glennon's going to be the quarterback. So anyways, we'll see. But regardless, I mean,
it doesn't sound like he's been cleared yet. It sounds like he's trending in the right direction.
Limited. I saw he's questionable. Okay. He got back to limited practice, which means he's heading in the right direction to play.
Yeah, because so, tweets what I was seeing earlier this week, like Monday, Tuesday, was Jake Fromm was preparing to start. Like, he was in, you know, in all the meetings and whatnot as the starting QB.
And maybe they could. I mean, is there really a difference between him and
there Russell? Is no difference. Yeah, that's what I'm point, saying.
Really?
Yeah.
But, no. Like, Justin Herbert's in the smash spot at home against the Giants, but I just don't I don't know, because like we've seen two different kind of things here with the like with the Chargers. I could see them still just throw all over them, right? Like it's definitely in the range of possibilities for them. Now we do have a situation going on with their wide receivers. Obviously, Keenan Allen is still in the COVID protocol. Mike Williams was a close contact, so at first there was confusion. It sounded like he wasn't going to be available, but now it sounds like he may be available, that he can pass the protocol, and so he could possibly be available. And we haven't really heard anything more on Keenan Allen. It sounded like he's more out than what is Mike Williams.
Because Keenan Allen was the one to test positive, right?
Yeah.
So and then those are the guys. He's got to turn in double negatives by Friday. Like yes. Friday, Saturday, the 24 hours, he's got to turn in two. But yeah, the other receivers were just close contact, so they're not on the same rules as Keenan Allen. So,
right, but I mean, Justin Herbert at 7,100. I mean, we've seen that this guy has monster ceiling, but I would be floored if the Giants could really push them to have to to really do a whole lot, you know?
Yeah,
and I agree. We really haven't seen them in a blowout, you know, like most every game they played in has been pretty close. And so I don't really know what to expect of this team is going to, what they're going to do, because I mean, are they just going to run Austin Eckler and their running backs the entire time and, you know, throw limited, you know, or they could get there being efficient. But overall, like, I just don't think there's enough there to really be able to really play a lot of Justin Herbert, which I love playing him. I play him almost every single week just because of his incredible ceiling, but I don't think this is it for him. So I think that's kind of where I come in. You know, it's going to be Patrick Mahomes, Dak, Cam Newton for me. And then I may end up going a little bit different and having like a Derek Carr lineup too, just because, you know, the Chiefs, you know, have been a team that has had trouble. Now they've been much, much, much better the last month and a half of the season with limiting opponents, especially in Arrowhead. But I will say this, the Raiders always tend to take one from the Chiefs every year. And they almost beat them last year in Arrowhead. And so, like, this is going to be a game that's going to be a pretty interesting game here. And so I would not be shocked. And we're not looking at disgusting weather like we had last week in the Sunday night game, where they had kind of this – it wasn't as bad as the Patriots game, but it wasn't that far off of how windy it was in that game.
Yeah, I agree. That game was hilarious, seeing the pregame videos of the kickers kicking one direction, the wind was knocking it down and spitting it out 20 yards off target, and the other direction it was like you created a Madden kicker with 100 power leg. His kicks would have been good from 80 yards.
And the Chiefs game wasn't that far off. I mean, it was windy as hell here in Kansas City. So anyways, I think unless you have any other quarterbacks you really want to hit on, I think those are kind of the guys that we have. And you want to move over to running back?
Yeah, let's move over.
Oh, no. Steelers might just get the ball back. A little bit of time remaining. Anyway, so let's move over to running back. So Austin Eckler, going to be one of the most shockiest running backs on the slate, 8,300. Smash matchup against the Giants like we just talked about. You know, Alvin Kamara, 7,900, playing against the Jets. We'll talk about that one for sure. Joe Mixon at 7,700. Nick Chubb at 7,600. Leonard Fournette at 7,400. Zeke at 7,300. Cordarrelle Patterson at 6,900. You have Elijah Mitchell and DeAndre Swift, but neither one of them sound like they'll play at 6,700 or 6,600. Tony Pollard also at 6,400 does not also sound like he's going to play. Josh Jacobs at 6,200. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 6,100. And Antonio Gibson just continues to be underpriced at 6K. And Saquon Barkley at 6K as well. So as far as these top guys, who are you interested most in playing?
Yeah, so Kamara seems to be like green light, all systems go. He's a full participant in practice already on Wednesday this week. And we've seen it, you know, with just tonight with Dalvin. You know, nobody wants to play these guys that are coming off a injury and that are questionable coming in. And, you know, when we get these star players that are playing, you know, they're going to get their full workload most of the time. And we may get Kamara at a cheaper lower ownership than we typically do. So, and he's playing against the freaking New York Jets, which is, you know, a matchup that we obviously would be playing him no matter what, if he didn't have that injury question, coming in. And we've seen him, you know, with upside of 37 fantasy points already this year against Seattle. Granted, that was 11 targets that game, but, I mean, they may not need to utilize him that much against the Jets this week, and especially with Taysom at QB. You know, there is merit to just on a low scoring slate like this, where we've got low totals all across the board. The Saints are still going to put up points against the Jets, and there is merit to just playing, you know, Taysom and Kamara on the same team and just getting all of the Saints points. And if then you don't have to be tilted from rushing touchdowns and which ones they go to, as long as Mark Ingram doesn't get them. So I love Kamara at the top. Outside of that, Leonard, it's worth mentioning Leonard Fournette is coming in as the highest owned running back on the slate, which is him and Eckler, which is interesting because we've seen, you know, this Tampa Bay offense, when the passing attack is chalk, you play Fournette, and when Fournette's chalk, you just play the passing attack. So we may be in a spot here where, you know, the everybody's looking at this Buffalo passing defense and saying, we don't want to play them, we want to play Fournette, and it may be a good spot to get leverage by playing the passing offense as a pivot off Fournette. So definitely looking to get off of Fournette here. An interesting one for me. So Josh Jacobs is coming in at 6,200, and he saw 9 targets last week. He saw 7 targets in week 11. And the notable injury here is Kenyon Drake is out for the year. You know, he had to get, I think it was foot surgery. So what's interesting is Jacobs' targets had been going up with Kenyon Drake even on the field. And now that he's out, you know, Kenyon Drake pretty much missed the whole game last game. And I know Jalen Richard was also out on COVID, and he's likely going to be coming back. So he will definitely handle, you know, some of the passing down work. But, I mean, Jacobs saw 9 targets last week, and he's 6,200 against Kansas City, who you can run the football on. And he's going to be on the field getting a ton of touches. So I like Josh Jacobs a lot at 6,200. Saquon Barkley is the other one for me. And I know we just talked about, you know, how the hell are the Giants going to keep up and actually, you know, put any points on the board against the Chargers. But the one knock on the Chargers defense is their run defense is among the worst in the NFL. And we finally got Saquon Barkley without Daniel Jones last week. And Saquon Barkley checked in with 9 targets. And that was, you know, obviously his highest on the year. His next highest was 7 back all the way back in week 3. When you take the running QB of Daniel Jones out of the equation, Saquon Barkley goes back to his Eli Manning days and gets those dump offs that the QB doesn't want to look down the field and or take sacks. So they just dump it off to Saquon. So, you know, you could see a good chunk of that. He's only 6K. He's very interesting. Outside of that, it's the 49ers running backs are going to be interesting for me. And I know I'll let you talk about Javonte Williams as well if Melvin Gordon's out. But the 49ers running backs, it looks like Elijah Mitchell is slated to miss this game with a concussion. Jeff Wilson is currently – he's practicing in full, and he is slated to be the number one running back on Sunday. And outside of that is Jermichael Hasty as the change of pace back. So they're 4,400 and 4K respectively. So they're interesting. I'm not sure I'm going to get there because I think there's guys you can play that have safer workloads. But, I mean, Jeff Wilson's going to be pretty interesting as well at 4,400, assuming he's the starting running back. So talk to us about Javonte Williams if Melvin Gordon were to miss.
I mean, if he were to miss, he is the absolute smash plays. Lock him into 100% of lineups. It's just that simple. We saw what he just did against the Chiefs. He would just destroy the this defense. The Lions are not very good against the run. I do expect Melvin Gordon to play, though. I will say that. I would be more surprised if he didn't play at this point because he's been getting in practice. He was limited today, and it sounds like he is probably trending in the direction of playing. So
that's good because I didn't want to have to play Javonte Williams at 40, 45, 50% ownership, which is exactly what he would have been.
Oh, boy. Sorry. Things are getting interesting.
Yeah, this game's good.
Chase Claypool keeps just racking up catches after catch after catch after catch. Anyway, so for me, okay, so a running back. So for me, Listen, we don't tell you how great Austin Eckler is as a play. I mean, he is in an absolute smash spot against the Giants, especially if they're missing some of these guys. They can see even more targets than what he typically sees. And so he is just in an incredible spot this week at 8,300, but he's also going to carry a ton of ownership, right? I think Alvin Kamara is actually really, really strong leverage off of Austin Eckler. And he's not going to carry nearly the ownership. And Mark Ingram got put on COVID protocol. And
oh, he did. I missed that.
Yes, Mark Ingram's on COVID protocol.
Oh, that's big. Yeah, Kamara. Yeah, you almost have to play Kamara at that point because there's nobody behind him.
No, I mean, what, Tony Jones, Ty Montgomery, right? And so, like, he's 7,900, and it is the nut matchup against the Jets, right? I mean, we're talking about the worst run defense in the league, and it's not even fucking close. This is how bad the Jets allow 36.9 DK points per game. The Seahawks are the next closest at 31.9, almost five full DK points ahead, right? And so it's just not even close. This defense has been so bad. They've been terrible against pass catching running backs. They've been terrible against, you know, every running back, right? Anyways, I got a lineup that's cooking right now.
Let's go.
That's in the top 200. So, anyways, so
you might have to pause here in a second because there's going to be one more play with 2 seconds left inside the 10-yard line.
Anyway,
what do you need? What do you need? What are we sweating here?
Just Claypool. Yeah. I have Claypool, and Claypool just keeps moving on, or really Deontay at that point.
Okay. Deontay just caught a crossing route for about 10 yards. Big Ben also just went over the 300-yard mark with that, so that's a three-point bonus. I would love a Claypool touchdown here. Yeah, they're on the 12-yard line.
So I'm at 165.
All right, I know I'm ahead of you, so I'm going to watch this play, and I'm not going to tell you what happens.
Essentially, Claypool, Deontay, and we're dancing because I have both them with Big Ben. Anyways, let me keep going. No one wants to hear dead air. So Alvin Kamara is in an absolute smash spot. And like I said, I'm probably going to have well over the field and overweight on Alvin Kamara because he's practicing in full. So it's not like he's limited in any sort of way. And like I said, it's just the best matchup you possibly could probably get this weekend for any running back. And he's going to be all by himself. Okay. Oh, he dropped it.
He's also – Kamara's also good leverage if Taysom Hill becomes chalk. He's not only is he leverage off Eckler, but he's leverage off of Taysom unless you're playing them together and getting all of the Saints points.
No, for sure. And so I just – he's going to see a ton of targets. And the only worry would be with Taysom is that is he going to target him that much? But regardless of that. So I absolutely love playing Alvin Kamara. At the price, you know, I don't really care. I think he's a pretty easy play. Now, with a lot of these running backs really looking like they're going to be out or questionable, I 100% am on board with the Josh Jacobs play, right? He has been, as you kind of talked about with him, he has been very, very underrated this year. And the Chiefs have been much better lately, as of recently, against the run. But, you know, we just saw them, you know, really get gashed by Javonte Williams. The Chiefs still rank 14th in fantasy points per game, or DK points to running backs. They're 26th in rush DVOA, and they're 28th in adjusted line yards, 31st in power rank. And with the – it is shocking to me that Josh Jacobs is seeing a 13% target share in this offense, right? And so with the added usage in the passing game with Kenyon Drake out, like, he just makes incredibly too much sense at his price tag. And honestly, like I said, if you want to stack this Chiefs offense, I don't mind running it back with Josh Jacobs because of his ability to with his pass catching involvement that he's been seeing. I just think at his price at 6,200, he just makes way too much sense.
I'm going to be sick.
What?
I just checked the standings on DK for Showdown. That was an expensive drop. If he catches that, there's only one guy between first place and me that has Freiermuth that's already ahead of me. So I would have jumped up to second, would have won $40,000. Oh, that one stings.
The
oh, that one rolls stings. last week it was Deontay's touchdown that knocked me out of everything, and this week Freiermuth's drop knocks or keeps me out of everything. These Steelers, man, these fucking Steelers. Oh, that one stings.
That's hilarious. I'm right there. I was looking at it. I'm right there with you. I'm right there. I don't even want to talk about it. We're not talking about it. Let's move on. Anyways, you know, hey, a little sweat on, you know, the DFS DJ Nation pod, you know, you'd love to see it or hate to see it for that matter. Anyways, do you have any interest in playing Antonio Gibson at 6K? Especially with, I think, JD McKissick looking like he's going to be back. He was limited today in practice, so I would assume, you know, coming from the concussion protocol, I would think that he'd be okay. But just the amount of touches that he's been seeing over the last really 2 to 3 weeks, even with him in the lineup, with JD McKissick in the lineup, he's still seeing a ton of opportunities. And he's only 6K, and I don't think anybody's going to want to play him, or people aren't going to really play him because of kind of the running backs that are surrounding him, and depending on what we end up finding with some of these other running backs. But I think a 6K is just still too cheap for Antonio Gibson and the upside that he provides.
Yeah, I mean, last week he was like the highest owned running back on the slate at 5,700, and now he's not projected to be the highest running back on the slate at 6K. So it's interesting that, you know, he only got a $300 price increase, and people aren't still rushing to play him. And to be honest, I didn't play him last week just because of how high owned he was. It's not that I didn't have confidence in his role. I thought, you know, he wasn't going to get the entire McKissick role, and I thought maybe the field was overvaluing that just a tad and didn't warrant the, you know, 35-40% ownership. But, I mean, this game against Dallas, we saw, you know, in Gibson. Remember Gibson last year on Thanksgiving? He scored, what, in the 30s against Dallas? So, I mean, you know, he's got their number. You can run on this Dallas team. You know, Gibson saw 6 targets last week. With McKissick out, he saw 7 2 weeks ago against Seattle in the game that McKissick pretty much played the whole game and then ended up getting hurt. So, I mean, 13 targets in the last 2 weeks. He's getting, you know, at least 20 carries a game. As long as he stays healthy, 6K is simply too cheap for that kind of workload.
I agree. And so I'm going to have some interest in him at his price tag at only 6K. Like, I think he does make some sense. Now, I'm going to say this with Javonte Williams. He's 5,900. I think he's still in a great spot here at 50 at his price tag. It's the matchup is still there. Yes, Javonte Williams is going to limit some of his ceiling a little bit, but I still wouldn't be surprised. Like, if this was the game that after he just came up with against the Chiefs, that they really do turn to him and start to feed him a little bit more, and it's not just a 50-50 split. It's because, I mean, usually, typically, what we see is after the bye, stuff like this happens. But I mean, with that game that he just had, and like I said, at 5,900 against Detroit, and I actually think Melvin Gordon playing would actually be a good thing, just because of his, it's going to keep his ownership down, kind of like you mentioned. So I do think I'm still going to play some Javonte Williams at 5,900 at his price tag. And then I think that the one interesting spot here for running backs this week is going to be the Tennessee running backs here, going against Jacksonville.
Oh, I can't.
You have Dontrell Hilliard at 5,300, which, you know, he's been much more of the pass catcher. McNichols is back for this game. So, you know, you have to see that. And then you have Deonta Foreman, who's 5,100. But this is a team that wants to run the football. The Jaguars are not going to push them whatsoever. And so, like, I don't hate it, but like the hard part though with this is deciphering which is the one that you want to play, right? Because Hilliard, because they kind
of, I'm not playing touches. Any of them personally.
Because we saw, so the last game that Hilliard played, he had 12 attempts, 131 yards.
Yeah, he barely saw the field, and he housed that one long run that got him there.
Yeah, 68 yards, 68. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So if you take that away, and you know, I'm part of the crowd, you know, I hate when people say, oh, well, if you take away his big play, but I mean, like, the big plays contribute to their scores, right? But I mean, Hilliard's not going to go out there. He's not, you know, the AJ Brown type, you know, that is built on big plays, I guess, is my argument. He's not that kind of guy that the Leonard Fournette back in Jacksonville that would, you know, carry the ball 20 times for, you know, 40 yards and then rip off a 97-yard touchdown run. Like, Hilliard is not that kind of player. You know, there's a reason that he's buried on the depth chart and it's just, you know, a change of pace style back. So I'm not banking, I guess, long-winded to say, I'm not banking on another 68-yard touchdown run from Hilliard.
Well, and maybe Foreman is the better play. Because I mean, if you look, I mean, Foreman carried the ball 19 times for 109 yards. So he was no slouch either in that game. And so, and he's actually the cheaper running back at 5,100. And I mean, and really with McNichols coming back, I mean, Hilliard was kind of thought to be the pass catching running back because, you know, the week before he had saw 10 targets. And then, you know, he comes back in that game against New England where it was only two, he only saw two in that game. But that game was a really ugly game. And, It was a blowout, but still, like, I was surprised he wasn't nearly as involved in the passing game. But I don't know. Like, I feel like one of these running backs could go off against the Jaguars. Like, this is a team that wants to run the ball. Like, they're top four in rush attempts per game. And the Jaguars aren't a team that's going to push them, that's going to make them throw the ball. The Jaguars' offense is one of the worst in the league. And so, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, if you could hit one of these, you know, I think maybe Foreman might make the most sense here at 5,100. Like, I don't know. I think he's going to be a low-owned play that could end up paying off in a matchup against Jacksonville. And so I like him. And then I don't know. Like, are you going to – so if Jeff Wilson is able to return, and it sounds like he was actually – he practiced in full today. So he's going to be – as long as Elijah Mitchell is not able to come back, he is going to be the start. He's likely going to be the starting running back here at 4,400 against Cincinnati. One, where do you think his owner? Because I remember, I mean, the week that he started was what, against Jacksonville? Yeah, that was against Jacksonville, whatever. He was the lead back in that game. And everybody wanted to play him in that game.
I played him that week.
At 5,100, and he only scored 6.8. Obviously, yep. Did not come at all anywhere close to what we thought that was going to happen in that game. But that was also a little bit different of a game because it was against Jacksonville, and they really just blew the doors off of him. So they didn't really have to do as much. They didn't have to include him in the passing game, which they did not. He only saw two targets in that game. But at 4,400, are you going to play him?
So my issue with Wilson is that Hasty is back. And that is the only thing really holding me back from just saying, let me just play a 4,400 Jeff Wilson. The same way we did with Sony Michel last week, right? Like, last week, we pretty much knew Michel was going to get 20-plus carries and see a handful of targets because that's what the Rams running back gets on a weekly basis. I mean, yes, the 49ers are going to look to run the ball first, and they're going to look to, you know, split Elijah Mitchell's role between Wilson and Hasty. I'm worried that Hasty is going to have a ton of success in the pass game against Cincinnati, a team that funnels targets to the running back position. I think they're second, giving up the second most receptions to running backs behind only Seattle in the league. So definitely a defense, you know, that you can throw to the running back position against. And Hasty is a guy that has seen a ton of targets out of the running back position. You look at week two, he had 5 targets. Week 7, coming back, he had 6 targets. Week 9, he had 4 targets, and that's all, you know, playing as not a main guy. And then with Elijah Mitchell out, this could be a week, you know, where Hasty mixes in a little bit more. I'm just worried. I don't know what Jeff Wilson's ownership is going to be. I worry about Wilson's lack of pass game involvement, especially with Hasty back, that, you know, if they are going to throw the ball to running backs, it's going to be more to Hasty than it is to Wilson. That's really going to eat into Wilson's ceiling. And at that point, Wilson would have to go for 120 yards and 2 scores to burn you, and I just don't see that happening.
No, I mean, I think everything you laid out there is true, and I mean, Jermichael Hasty is definitely the pass catcher here among the two of him and Jeff Wilson.
Yeah,
but I also wonder with Jeff Wilson, like I said, it just was that game script that because he's been utilized in the passing game in the past. You know, you go back to last year. I mean, he is a capable pass catcher. And so I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see with that. But with Jeff Wilson at 4,400, you know, but you're probably right. If we get confirmed out Elijah Mitchell, especially depending on when that's, you probably could, we'll probably get that news tomorrow because I don't think, yeah, I mean, he hasn't even practiced yet with the concussion. That means he hasn't really progressed at all through the concussion protocol. So, I mean, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but it is definitely 100% trending in the he's going to be out type of situation here. And so, you know, with him, I don't know. Like, I typically am not somebody, and if he is going to end up being, 30, 40% owned, then no, I will be out on that dog. That will be a big no for me, because I just don't think that he's going to, he's not Sony Michel from last week, because he has somebody else there that is going to see opportunities in Jermichael Hasty.
Yeah.
So, and Cincinnati's defense has been okay this year, has been pretty decent.
They are good against the run. They just can give up a ton of pass work to running backs, and that's where I think Hasty comes in more so than Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, and then, I'm probably going to do it. I know you won't do it, but I'm probably going to do it because I'm me, and I'm not going to have a ton, probably like one or two lineups, but I'm going to have one or two lineups with Rashad Penny in it. He's only 4,800. Saw 11 carries last week against Houston. Houston is terrible against the run. They are much better against the pass. I know. Cody on our other show that we do for the Start Sit live show, he did the same thing whenever I brought up Rashad Penny. First round pick. But he definitely looks like the most explosive of the two. Between him and Adrian Peterson, which, that's not a real high bar to try to beat out a 37-year-old Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
But Rashad Penny, I think against Houston, 4,800, at the price tag, depending on what, if you have a lineup that you really love, but I'm probably going to have a little bit of him. So with that being said, is there any other running backs that you want to hit on?
No, I think we can move to wide receiver. I'm just going to answer Uzi's question here real quick. He said, is Eli Mitchell confirmed out? Not yet. He just has not been trending towards clearing the concussion protocol. If he were to get cleared, he's going to play because it's just a concussion, right? It's not like he's dealing with a knee injury that they're trying to manage or anything like that. If he's cleared, he's good to go. But the issue
have a knee issue as well.
Oh, he does? Well, yes. The main issue here is the concussion, because he can't play if he can play through a knee injury. But I don't think that's what's holding him out right now.
Yeah, so he had the concussion, and then Wednesday he said he was had knee irritation. I don't really know what that means.
I think that's been something he's been playing through, though. I don't know that's something new.
But the fact that he hasn't done anything yet, he hasn't even gotten in a limited practice, I think he has to get – so if he doesn't practice tomorrow, he's out.
It's a lot like the CeeDee Lamb situation. They were optimistic and he was trending right. But it sounds like Eli Mitchell is on the even worse than CeeDee Lamb was before the Thanksgiving game. So,
yeah,
we were assuming Eli Mitchell is out, though he's not been officially ruled out yet. But yes, we can move over to wide receiver.
Okay, so at wide receiver, we already have Tyreek Hill. We talked about 8,500. Stephon Diggs at 8,100. Debo Samuel at 8K, Keenan Allen, which looks like he's not going to play, but he's 7,600. CeeDee Lamb at 7,200, Chris Godwin 7,100, McLaurin at 7K, Jamar Chase 6,900, Tyler Lockett at 6,700, Mike Evans at 6,600, DK at 6,500, T. Higgins at 6,400, Marquise Hollywood Brown at 6,300, DJ Moore 6,200, Hunter Renfro at 6,100, Mike Williams, who was a close contact. We're not sure yet if he's going to play, but he's only 6K. And then, that's the list for the, for the 6K and up guys. So where are we starting out with wide receiver for you this week?
Yeah. So I mentioned liking the San Francisco passing attack with Elijah Mitchell probably being out. And I mean, Debo Samuel has crushed all year. Nobody's going to play him at 8K, being next to Stephon Diggs and Tyreek Hill. I think Tyreek is going to come in as the highest owned wide receiver on the slate, possibly the highest owned player on the slate. He's currently projected over 30%. So, we've seen Debo all year. He's, point totals of 30, 26, 25, 39, 36. So Debo has a ceiling this year that warrants that 8K price tag. And I think his ownership is going to come in way lower, especially with a Q tag next to his name. He didn't practice today, which is definitely concerning. So it's definitely something to keep an eye on, but he's been dealing with the same groin injury, for a few weeks this year. So if he plays, I'm assuming he's good to go. So I really do like Debo at the top, though. I won't fault you for playing Diggs or Tyreek for obvious reasons. I just wanted to mention that Debo makes a great leverage off of those two guys. $7,200 CeeDee Lamb. I don't think he's going to get enough love as he should. He's the alpha wide receiver in that offense. He is the go-to guy right now. Amari Cooper has been out for a couple weeks, and you know, we want Cooper to play because that does help, you know, take some coverage off of CeeDee Lamb, and Cooper will play this week. But $7,200 for CeeDee Lamb, for a guy who's, you know, pretty much gonna score you 20 plus points on a slate like this, where it's low scoring totals across the board. You know, I think this is a slate that makes sense. You can play CeeDee Lamb at $7,200 because it's not going to be a slate like last week where there are, you know, multiple guys that are getting 30 to 40 fantasy points. Like we had Jonathan Taylor and Cooper Kupp and Justin Jefferson and Chris Godwin last week, all breaking the slate pretty much. I don't think this is a slate that's built like that. I think it's a much lower scoring slate. So, you know, you need to factor in floor and ceiling combos. And I think CeeDee Lamb is a guy who's not going to go out and score, you know, the 40 point games like Tyreek can, but he's also not going to, you know, most games he's not going to score you single digit points. So pretty good shot at 15 to 20 points for Lamb. And he's got a really good upside for more. I mean, he's got 100 yard, 2 touchdown upside anytime he steps on the field. So I think he's a great play. We mentioned, you know, the Tampa Bay offense with Leonard Fournette coming in is probably the highest owned running back up there with Austin Eckler. I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are both very, very interesting against Buffalo. Nobody's going to play this passing attack. And when nobody is going to play something led by Tom Brady, I am heavily interested in that. Moving down the list, I mean, Terry McLaurin, I know you briefly mentioned him when talking about the quarterbacks, but 7K for a guy who can go over 30 DraftKings points and will be low owned is definitely somebody I want exposure to. Moving down the list, I'm curious to hear about your thoughts on DJ Moore at 6,200 against Atlanta, as well as Julio Jones at 5,400 if he plays. He's starting to practice again. He's been designated to return from IR, and with AJ Brown possibly out as well, he could be looking at, you know, being the go-to guy for Tennessee in an offense that desperately needs somebody to step up. And they're playing a very, very bad Jacksonville pass defense. So Julio Jones at 5,400, is that something that strikes your fancy, assuming he plays this week, or you think he's more of a trap? Because I would assume he's going to be semi-popular if he plays and AJ Brown is out.
I would think, but it just, what the only thing that worries me is, like, all year he hasn't really not seen any targets, and he's never really seemed like he's on the same page as Ryan Tannehill. The most targets he's seen in a game all year is 8. Like, you know, other than that, it's a bunch of 4s and 5s, you know?
Yeah. And but every game of those has been with AJ Brown out there. Right.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure he had at least a game or two without AJ Brown, because AJ Brown missed time earlier in the year too. And he was actually the only healthy wide receiver. I'll have to look just to verify. But
let's see.
But regardless, I just don't think this game script screams to me that you're gonna have to throw a lot. And that would be the only concern that I would have, really. Because but at 5,400, he doesn't have to do a ton, and it is a great matchup. It's just, I could just see them just being really ugly and slow paced, and all they do is just run the ball the entire time.
Yeah, AJ Brown has not missed a game where Julio Jones played.
Okay, well,
been out there every week. My counter argument to that is, if Derrick Henry was playing, yes, I would agree that they would just be able to run the ball over and over again. But I mean, you and I have said it multiple times on you know, every week this year, that Jacksonville is a pass funnel defense. You can't really, you know, everybody sees the Jacksonville name and assumes you can still run the ball all over them. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, well, Jeff Wilson week, right? 2-3 weeks ago, we were like, play Jeff Wilson. He got 19 carries and ran it for 50 yards with an offensive line that can run the football in San Francisco. And so now you're asking, you know, Dontrell Hilliard or whoever, you know, is in this Tennessee backfield, Deontay Foreman, guys like that, to just run the ball over and over and over again. I think that this is such a good spot to get Julio Jones on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. I would not be shocked if they force fed him 10 to 12 targets in this matchup.
I mean, it's possible. Of course, it's possible. But the only thing I would say this, as well as for Jacksonville, is Jacksonville has allowed the 10th most DK points. They've allowed the 11th most rushing yards and the 4th most rushing touchdowns on the season to running backs. So they've been, the middle of the road. They've been okay against running backs. Yes, they have. And so I will say some of those matchups they've had, they have, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry exploded against them. And then Sony Michel, I think, are the only three running backs that have rushed for over 100 yards against them. Mm-hmm. So it's not a huge lesson. Obviously, none of these guys are those guys. And so I guess maybe Sony Michel, you could make an argument because Sony Michel is just a guy. But the Titans also don't have Matthew Stafford and the entire pass catching core that they have. So it's a little bit different of a situation, but I don't hate it. It's just
that's why I kind of compare him to San Francisco, right? Because you got a more, game manager of a QB, not really. I mean, you've got some weapons on the outside. It's just a lower pass volume offense, but a team that wants to run the ball first. And they had, Jeff Wilson was their starting running back that week and 19 carries for just over 50 yards. So that I think that that's the most comparable scenario we've seen against Jacksonville. So I don't know. It just feels like a spot where, we could see 100-yard and a touchdown Julio.
It's certainly possible, but we haven't really – it would be welcome because we haven't seen him do
– Yeah, we haven't seen it.
All year. I will say this. In terms of the Tampa Bay wide receivers between Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, I actually think this is a Mike Evans week and not a Chris Godwin week. Chris Godwin is going to see a lot of Taron Johnson, and he has been probably their best corner they've had. I mean, he has been excellent all year at limiting opposing, and he plays like 86% of the snaps from the slot. Taron Johnson does, and Chris Godwin leads the team with 60% of the snaps from the slot. And so I think this is going to be a much tougher matchup for him. But, with Tredavious White out for the year with the knee injury, he's going to see a lot of Dane Jackson. And which this is a tremendous matchup for Mike Evans. And so I just feel like this is going to be a Mike Evans type of game. And so where I don't think, especially with Chris Godwin coming off the monster performance, he just had the 15 catches ridiculousness that he just had, where Mike Evans didn't really pop. I mean, Mike Evans was okay. But I think this could end up being a big-time Mike Evans type of game. And so I like Mike Evans a lot in this matchup against the Bills. He gets the much better matchup here among everybody. And so I just like Mike Evans, and I just don't think he's going to carry the ownership at all that he should. And he's also the cheaper one at only $6,600. So that is too cheap for Mike Evans as well. Mike Evans should be a 7K type player. Getting him at $6,600 is a pretty nice discount. Like I already said, I want to play Seattle wide receivers. I've already talked about that. Whether it's in a game, if I game stack, if I don't, I like DK Metcalf at $6,500. I feel like he's just ready to pop. He hasn't really had a big game. You have to kind of go all the way back to week 8 against the Jaguars. We had 22.3, but earlier in the year was when he was really popping, but he really hasn't done a whole lot. Last week, he did see 8 targets, which was positive because, the week before he only saw 4. But like I said, against Houston, I feel like this is a matchup where we can see this passing offense kind of explode a little bit. And we know that one of these, either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett, has the ability to break this slate, that it absolutely can break this slate. And I liked DK Metcalf here at $6,500. His price tag is too cheap. And then, DJ Moore, I think, interests me for sure because of the matchup. The Falcons off, or the Falcons secondary, can definitely be had. I think AJ Terrell tends to be their best corner that they have, but he tends to play more in the slot, and that's what they end up doing. They did the same thing with him, and so I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think he shadows or anything like that, but DJ Moore can certainly go off in this matchup here. We haven't really seen much from him either. I mean, he's kind of bounced back a little bit, since what he was earlier in the year, where he was looking like an absolute fucking monster out there. But he still hasn't really hit ceiling. I mean, he scored one touchdown where he got 16 DK points week 11 against Washington. And then he saw 10 targets against Miami for 4 for 103. And that was it for 17.3 in that game for DJ Moore. But the matchup is definitely there for DJ Moore at 6,200. It just worries me a little bit. But the matchup against Atlanta, like I said, I love Cam. So playing Cam this week is something you could definitely do. Add his price tag at 5,400. It's a cheap stack you can get to. If you want to pair him with, you know, with DJ Moore, I think you could do that. If you want to run it back with like a Russell Gage type, I think that is a direction you could go for a really cheap stack. And I think this Carolina-Atlanta game could definitely shoot out here. These are two teams that are kind of trending in the wrong direction. Atlanta's defense is terrible. And, you know, Carolina coming off their bye, they fired Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator. So this offense could look a little bit different as well. But so I don't mind him. I think he's too cheap. Russell Gage is only 5,700. I really want to play the Broncos wide receivers. I mean, Jerry Judy's 5,600. Cortland Sutton's 5,300. All these wide receivers are so damn cheap. But this passing offense just looks terrible. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is terrible, and they just can't get anything going. But it is a matchup against the Lions. And if the Lions – but the Lions, I will say, the Lions have been able to keep it close every single week. I mean, they play tough. They play hard. And if they can keep this game close, I mean, I think one of these Broncos wide receivers could end up being a pretty solid play. I would tend to lean towards Jerry Jeudy at 5,600 because Cortland Sutton has kind of just been – just disappeared, you know, really – over the really since Jerry Jeudy has come back. I mean, he's kind of disappeared, but Jerry Jeudy had one of his better games since he's returned, which is sad to say, but with 11.7 TK points, 4 for 77 in that matchup last week against Kansas City. But I don't mind Jerry Jeudy. And then I guess for the cheap wide receivers, does anybody interest you down there?
Not really. No.
No.
I mean, just scrolling through these names, they don't – I mean, I guess
– I
guess the Chargers guys, like Josh Palmer, would be interesting if Mike Williams were to be out too. I mean, even if it's just Keenan Allen, I guess Palmer would be interesting. People may look to Guyton, but I would think Palmer would be the guy that gets the biggest bump.
I do too. That's one I was going to talk about, because if Keenan Allen is out, I think you see Josh Palmer move into the slot, and he plays primarily out of the slot. And because he, I mean, it's very small sample size, but Josh Palmer played, I think it's 56% of his snaps from the slot. Again, very small sample size, but still, that is where he's primarily played at. And so with Keenan Allen, if he were to miss this game, I don't really hate that either. With going to Josh Palmer, he is. What I think he's the min, I think. If not, he's 3K. So I mean, he is bare minimum. So I think that is the direction to go. But Donovan Peoples-Jones at 3,900, I like him a lot. Marlon Humphrey is out. Obviously, he's done for the year. That secondary is so banged up in Baltimore. They lost really the only strong corner that they had left. And again, we have the Browns coming off the bye, which is allowed Baker Mayfield a little bit of time to heal, because that man is just a broken soul out there, has injuries to every part of his body, and getting this week off. But the Ravens have allowed the most plays of 20-plus yards on the season, and that is Donovan Peoples-Jones' role, is the deep threat here in this offense. And we've seen some big Donovan Peoples-Jones games from him this year. He has a ceiling. I mean, he had the – against Arizona, he had 29.1 in that game, 4 for 101 and 2. And then a game against Cincinnati, he scored 16.6 DK points, where he only had 2 receptions for 86 yards and a score. He's definitely the deep threat here in this offense. And I just think that in this matchup against Baltimore, that we could really see him. If he saw 5 targets the last time they played before their bye, but obviously that was with broken Baker, hopefully with this time off, I think it could actually end up helping him.
Njoku might miss that game because he's on the COVID list right now. So if he were to be out, you know, it's not – Njoku doesn't really get a ton of looks himself, but they run a lot of, you know, multiple tight end sets because he's out, he's available. But if he were to be out, I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I would just think would be a lock to see the field pretty much every single snap on offense.
And it kind of opens some things up, too, because you have to remember Harrison Bryant is also out for Cleveland. So that's – I mean, they're a team that wants to play heavy tight end sets.
They run a lot of 13 personnel.
Yes. And then now you don't have him. You don't have him. You wouldn't – if you don't have Njoku, that takes you all the way down. You're really just having Austin Hooper left the last man standing here at that.
Yeah, and people may just look to Hooper. And I mean, I think Peoples Jones is, you know, maybe even a bigger beneficiary just because he's going to be on the field, you know, more than we're accustomed to seeing him on the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's a name that nobody's going to want to play. It's a Browns wide receiver. Nobody wants to play Browns wide receivers unless their name is, you know, no one wants to play anybody from the Browns unless its name is Nick Chubb. But I mean, he's been on the field. I mean, the last, so he got injured, but he came back week 9, played week 9, 10. I think he missed week 11, but then came back week 12. But week 9, he played 60% of the snaps, 84% of the snaps against week 10, and 71% of the snaps against the Baltimore Ravens. And at the primary corner he saw in that game, Marlon Humphrey. No Marlon Humphrey. The week before that, when we saw 5 targets, the primary corner he saw in that game, J.C. Jackson, one of the best corners we've seen this year. So he's had some really tough matchups. So I think that Donovan Peoples-Jones at 3,900 is a pretty strong play.
I'm on board. I'm good with it.
So he's the cheap guy that I really want to get to. If you really, like, I don't know, like, Bryan Edwards at 3,300 against Kansas City. We did see him score a touchdown in the same matchup against Kansas City a few weeks ago where he saw 3 for 88 and a score in that game, 17.8 DK points. He's only 3,300. I think it's kind of a thin play, but, you know, he is $3,300. So, you know, maybe a part of a game sack or something like that. I think you could play him at $3,300. I don't love it. But that's kind of where I come in at wide receivers. And then you mentioned Josh Palmer. I do think that he is certainly a play.
Yeah, I agree.
But like I said, you know, other than that, I think that's the wide receivers that I'm as of right now really the most interested in. Outside of, you know, certain game stacks that I may have. Do you have anybody else that you want to hit on?
No, I think that does it for me.
All right, let's jump over to tight end, which is interesting because we actually get, you know, Kittle and Kelsey on this slate. So Travis Kelsey, 7,400. George Kittle, 6,900. Darren Waller, it's not looking great. He has not practiced yet this week. It's a play at 6,400. Gronk is 6K. Mark Andrews is 5,900. Kyle Pitts is 5,500. Dalton Schultz at 5,400. TJ Hockenson's at 5,300, who did not practice today. Which would be a little bit more of a development here as well. But going against Denver, Dawson Knox at 5K. And then you have Noah Fant at 4,500. And then they gave the old bump to Foster Moreau, who was absolute chalk last week. That I fade, and I felt really good about. They only scored 4.4 fucking DK points. You didn't get me with, what was he, 30, 40% rostered Foster Moreau. I don't care that he was 2,700. I played Brevin Jordan. Anyway, tight end. The biggest question is going to be Kelsey or Kittle, right? Because they're both – Neither. You love living on the edge, especially George Kittle coming out with his monster 42.6 DK points for, you know, 9 catches, 181 yards, and 2 scores last week.
I do like living on the edge.
So –
there's a tight end that has 9, 10, 10, 8, and 10 targets in the last 5 games, and he also has a 13-target, 45 DK point game notched into his belt this year, and that is $5,900 Mark Andrews. That is going to go completely overlooked, being priced just underneath those guys. You know, everybody's going to look to play Kelsey and Kittle up there, and Waller if he plays. You know, I wouldn't expect Waller to get a ton of ownership, but I don't think people are going to pay $5,900 for Mark Andrews. And I mean, you talk about looking for, you know, floor ceiling combos on this slate. That's going to be semi low scoring across the board in terms of total points scored in the games. You've got a guy in Mark Andrews who is literally racking up 8 to 10 targets a game over the last 5 weeks and has 2 touchdown upside every single time that he steps on the field. And we've seen this Baltimore-Cleveland matchup shootout. You know, last year that they played that wild game where Lamar had to take a poop and come back and won the game. That was like a 40, you know, like a 45-42 score or something, whatever it was last year. They did play just a couple weeks ago. It was 16-10. But I mean, Mark Andrews still had 10 targets, 4 catches for 65 and a score. He got you 17 DK points, which at the tight end position is not bad at all. So if I'm paying up this week, I think I'm likely going to end up on Mark Andrews just because of how safe his role is currently. And he does have 2 touchdown upside. Other than that, I'm going to, if I was going to play a cheap tight end, there are, you know, a couple guys that I would have consideration in. John Bates is one of them for Washington. We saw, was it 2-3 weeks ago against Carolina? He played 99% of the snaps because Logan Thomas and Ricky Seals-Jones were both out. So he got the full-time share. And you know, he only had 5 DK points, but I mean, he's 3K, so he doesn't really have to do much for you. You're pretty much looking for, you know, 10 to 12 fantasy points for him to pay off that salary for the most part. So not going to kill you there with only 3K salary. O'Shaughnessy for Jacksonville, 6 targets last week with Dan Arnold out, done for the year. So he is the lead pass catching, lead target getter there in Jacksonville, which is weird to think about. So he's interesting. With Keenan Allen out, Parham Jr., tight end for the Chargers, is interesting as well. Not really a high volume guy. He's only, you know, only touched 5 targets once this year. But we have seen him catch 3 touchdowns on the year. So definitely an interesting spot there against the Giants with you know, a heavy red zone usage guy in Keenan Allen likely to miss this game. So, yeah, they're outside of, you know, the Mark Andrews and those guys up at the top, there are 3 guys that I like at around that 2,800 to 3K price tag.
Okay. Well, I definitely agree that I think Mark Andrews is in play at his price tag and the leverage that you're going to get off the, especially the higher price guys. Travis Kelce has absolutely destroyed the Raiders in his career. In his career, in 15 games, he has 84 catches for 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns in his career. And I just wanted to look at Tyreek Hill comparatively, and he has 50 catches for 718 and 9 touchdowns against them. So, which I believe, yeah, so it's a little fluky because he has 6 rushing or 6 receiving touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and a return touchdown against them because when he was younger, in the early years where he was kind of the jack of all trades and do some different things. But Travis Kelce has killed them, and the Raiders are, surprise, surprise, the second worst team against tight ends on the season. It's allowing 18 DK points a game. Only the Eagles, who allow 0.7 more DK points a game to tight ends. And so, you know, I think that Travis Kelce, even though he is 7,400, is in an elite spot here against the Raiders. I mean, he is somebody that could go 10 for 120 and 2 for sure in this matchup against the Raiders. And then from there, I'm going back to the well. I'm going back to the well. You can't stop me. I'm going back to the well, Brevin Jordan, $2,500 on DK. Seattle has not been very good against tight ends. They allow the 4th most DK points to tight ends on the season. And he's getting more involved. The last 2 weeks, he's played 42% and 60% of the snaps. He ran 15 routes and 12 routes. He's seeing about 3 or 4 targets a game. I know it's not a high ceiling, but a tight end position, they don't have to do a lot, especially at 2,500. You know, week 12, he went 3 receptions, 23 yards and a score for 11.3 DK points. Again, not something elite or anything like that, but at $2,500, I just think that he is something that we should be taking a look at his price tag, especially if you are, you know, you're building a lineup and maybe you only have $2,500 left. I don't mind just plugging him in there in a matchup where they're going to be trailing. They're always going to be trailing. They're always going to have to throw the ball. And he's only $2,500 against a defense that has really struggled to stop to really stop tight ends. Plus Jamal Adams, they lost him. That's going to be a big blow to that, you know, to that secondary as well. And so Brevin Jordan's $2,500. Okay. We're just going to keep talking about him every single week. And, you know, he just continues to get a little bit more involved, and he's running routes. And so, you know, at his price at $2,500, I think he's interesting play at that price tag. And then Austin Hooper, if all these tight ends are going to be out against the Ravens, they're missing Marlon Humphrey, who a lot of times they put on tight ends. $3,400.
Yeah, you have to have interest in Hooper. if Njoku misses.
Yeah. So I think those are kind of the spots I'm going to go to. Kelsey for sure. I'm definitely going to have some Mark Andrews. Love that. Past that, you know, there's nothing that ultimately stands out to me. Ricky Seals-Jones sounds like he's going to be back at 3,600. We know how much he was involved, whatever he played back before Logan Thomas was out. But it sounds like he is trending towards playing at $3,600. But he is somebody that I would be interested to see how much chalk he's going to be, because when Logan Thomas was out, I mean, he was pretty much playing almost 100% of the snaps. You know, you had 100, 98, 94, 98. He was running just an incredible amount of routes, 24, 36, 34, 39, 31, seeing a lot of targets, 8, 6, 7, 4. So, he was heavily involved in that offense. And so in a matchup, they're going to be trailing Ricky Seals-Jones at $3,600. I don't know how you can't have some interest in that, even against the Cowboys here.
Yeah, that's all the same reasons I mentioned John Bates if Seals-Jones were to miss.
Yes. All right. So, any other tight ends you want to talk about?
Nope.
Okay. So, at defense, I mean, if Jake Fromm is end up being the starter, do we just say fuck it? We're just going to play. I mean, I know we never pay up for a defense, but a $4,300 defense going against Jake Fromm.
I'm not paying $4,300 for defense. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Because he's probably likely to make a lot of low risk throws, right? Like a lot of dump offs to Saquon Barkley. Like they're not going to stretch the field with Jake from State Farm. Like it's not going to happen.
Yeah, and who was the Bills quarterback? Was it Peterman? Nathan Peterman?
Yeah.
Remember against the Chargers where he threw like five interceptions? Yeah, or something he threw
five
like
interceptions.
That? Yeah, I mean maybe we get a
in like the first
like
half.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Anyways. But so you have them at 4,300. You have the Broncos at 3,800, the Titans at 3,700, the Saints at 3,600, Cowboys at 3,400, the Chiefs at 3,300, the Bucks at 3,200, and the Seahawks 3,100 against Houston. I don't really mind that. And then 3K 49ers. And let's go down to the spot that we normally start at, and that is at the very bottom of the barrel. The Giants are 2,300 against that same Chargers. The Jags are 2,300. The Lions are 2,400. The Texans are 2,400. The Jets are 25. Washington football team's 2,500. And you have the Raiders at 26. The Browns at 2,700. Where are you going at defense this week?
How many times have we played Carolina this year? I'm just going to probably go right back to the well. Last time they played Atlanta, they scored 11 DK points, and they're only 2,800. They cost 3,100 that week. I don't know why DK dropped their price tag down, but Carolina will be the defense that I likely plug in at 2,800 against Matt Dusty Ass Ryan.
I don't mind that. I
I mean, they're top three in adjusted sack rate as well. So Carolina gets good pressure on the quarterback too.
They're number one at adjusted.
Yeah, they're number one. So there you go. They have been improved.
The defense that I have some interest in is the Browns at $2,700.
I don't hate that either.
They are ninth in adjusted sack rate on the year. We've seen Lamar I don't know really what in the fuck he's doing lately with some of these interceptions that he's throwing. But I mean, since week 9, he has thrown 8 interceptions over that span. He is just throwing kind of some YOLO balls out there that are just look terrible. But the Browns, you know, like I said, at 2,700, I do like that at that price tag. Like I said, they are a team that can definitely get after the quarterback coming off the bye, so they should be relatively healthy here. So $2,700 Browns at home, I do like them, have some interest there. And I don't really mind the Jets at $2,500. I mean, my God, did you see how bad that Taysom Hill looked as a passer? And, you know, the Jets the last couple of weeks have been an offense that hasn't looked necessarily terrible. And – you know, the Saints, it's not like the Saints offense is some world beater either, you know, like with their pass catchers they have. And it's entirely possible that the Jets could get out a little bit early on this team here. And so, you know, $2,500 Jets with Taysom Hill out there, the tight end trying to throw balls, you know, I can't believe D-Bro likes Taysom Hill. Like, I like D-Bro so much, but man, the Taysom thing doesn't make any sense to me, but I digress. So that's kind of defense that I'm looking at. The Browns, the Jets. I like the Panthers call as well. I highly doubt I'll play the Chargers, even though it makes a lot of sense at 4,300. Unless I just happen to have that amount sitting around for a defense, I will. But that typically never happens because I typically just whatever small amount of money I have left, I'll find somebody to plug in there. So I can't imagine I'll be able to get up to the Chargers because I'm not going to allocate money to play them.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay. So I think it's time for the time for what everybody comes for, you know, it's for the lineup build. What Walito, we're not going to put respect on Taysom Hill's name. He's a great tight end. he's a great gadget player, Walito. Okay. But he is a terrible. I don't know if you saw those passes that the man was throwing with last week, but it was embarrassingly bad. Some of the throws that he made. Missed Traquan, wide open, should have been a walk-in touchdown. Somebody had him on showdown, it would have helped. It would have been real nice for the lineups had he could have hit Traquan, but he did not. RIP Demaryius Thomas, yes. We heard about that right before we went live. It's incredibly sad, 33 years old. It sounds like it's pretty much been confirmed that they found him. He passed away. That's all really that we know, but 33 years old, that's incredibly sad. For somebody, you know, yeah. And all the stories, some of the stories that have been coming out a little bit about him, how much of an awesome just person that he is. It's not even accounting for, you know, what he did in the NFL. Like that's secondary, you know, but off the field and how great of a player or how good of a person he was. So it sounds like he was a really awesome dude. So incredibly sad, 33 years old to pass away with so much life left. So, yeah, you know, RIP DT. Even though I am a Chiefs fan, I'm from Kansas City. I hate the Broncos, but that doesn't matter. He was an incredible wide receiver in his prime. Yeah. So that was like him and Dez Bryant were like battling every year for like the you know, big time touchdown guys.
He made Tim Tebow look good.
He did. I'll never forget that playoff game, in overtime where he got the game winning touchdown. House called it. Yeah. God, Tim Tebow actually funny because Tim Tebow and Taysom Hill, one in the same, really, if we're being honest. Both
true,
not great throwers of the football. Anyways, so let's build this lineup. Where are we starting?
Let's just make it easy and lock in Panthers defense. Let's go ass backwards this time.
Okay, let's lock in the Panthers. Let's go with. You know what? Fuck it. We'll do it live. Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. All right. This is interesting. Didn't expect you to go there. For playing Mahomes.
You know what I was going to go? Yeah, I was going to say, but I didn't say it. I was going to say, let's go Cam Newton. That's what I was actually going to say. But
no, I'm good with it. If you're playing Mahomes... I'm going to let you pick between Kelce and Tyreek, but I like Josh Jacobs on the other side regardless, and he's probably I would look to get my touchdown equity through Jacobs from the Raiders. Similar to you're looking at a kind of a game to play out like on Thanksgiving, right? A shootout in the 30s on both teams, and Josh Jacobs scored twice that game. So that's pretty much what you're looking for. I like Jacobs this week, so I'd put him in.
All right, we're going to go ahead and lock in Travis Kelce at 7,400.
All right, we are fishing for value now for the rest of our team. We talked about no cheap wide receivers that we like, and now we are having to sift through
the
bottom of the barrel. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I will take him from you.
That's the guy I was talking about. Let's see here.
Good luck, sir.
Let's figure out what we're going to do at running back. Now I'll be able to figure out what we can do at wide receiver.
I already had somebody plugged in that I didn't mention.
Who's that?
Alvin Kamara. That's why my salary went off the board.
Okay. Can we play two tight ends and go Mark Andrews?
If it'll fit, yeah.
Well, so if we do, that'll leave us at 39.50 remaining per the two wide receivers we would have left. what we could do is we could plug in Josh Palmer, and that would leave, or Brian Edwards, a part of the game sack, if we wanted to do that too. That would leave $4,900 left.
Or I was thinking we could just maybe, if we're playing Mahomes and only have Kelsey, we could throw in one of these dirt cheap Kansas City secondary guys. Like a Byron Pringle. I mean, Pringle has two games of double-digit points this year, and so does DeMarcus Robinson. And Pringle's 32, and DeMarcus is 3K. So I don't hate that if on a team where you're playing Mahomes at 8K, right? Because you need him to throw four touchdowns pretty much. And Pringle, his 14.6 game was against Las Vegas. Five targets, 46 yards, and a tutty. I mean, he's pretty much – Pringle has turned into almost an every-down player over Hardman. Hardman is not getting any more run, which is crazy. You look at snaps, and Hardman's snaps and routes have just fallen off a cliff.
That's because Mecole Hardman is an idiot. And he does a lot of really dumb things a lot. He continually just stops on his routes, which really which the Chiefs hate, because with Patrick Mahomes, him running around and everything else. So anyway, I digress. Who the hell are we going to play? Because I'll be honest, looking at all these wide receivers, I'm like, I don't love any of these.
The other option is to come off Kamara and play Antonio Gibson or Saquon Barkley. You have a preference? I almost side with Saquon, assuming he plays.
But so okay, so I have a giant that I was kind of thinking about.
Oh wait, this actually might be the build.
What
if you take Kamara out and you play Barkley, and you play Pringle, then that leaves 6,600, which is Mike Evans, who I know we both love.
Oh, it does. He fits in perfectly.
He fits in perfectly, and I don't hate that build at all, to be honest.
Okay. That's what we're doing. That's where we're going. I like that.
I like it.
All right. So we're locking it in. So the lineup is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Jacobs, Saquon, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Byron Pringle, Mike Evans, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews going with a double tight end. Get a little contrarian with the Panthers D. $0 remaining for this lineup. Lock it in. I like that lineup.
I do too.
So we'll get out of here. We'll answer a couple questions. Then we'll get out of here. Hey guys, have you had a Dale sighting? So we had last night in our the Star Sit show. We had somebody that, I mean, literally this guy had like just a plethora. I think he had like 8 or 9 just accounts. I mean, literally as soon as he would jump off that one, he'd go to another one. And so yeah, that's
what he's the same guy.
Yeah, it was definitely the same guy, but I was surprised at how many fake accounts he had. It was pretty funny though. Anyways, on a serious note, should I stash Devontae Parker, Mooney, or Claypool for Week 15? Would you either start him or over half PPR Pittman? I would have to go and look at the schedules for next week. My space is not at Week 15 yet. But all of those guys, I don't know how many of these guys are even available. Like all these guys should be rostered. If I had to rank them,
I mean, just off of pure, offensive involvement, it has to be Mooney at the top of that list, right?
Yeah, let me. I already pulled it up, so I'll be able to tell you who everybody's playing. So the Bears have the Vikings.
Yeah, Mooney. Mooney. That's easy.
But you have the Steelers against the Titans at home.
Yeah, but Claypool, he's just so hit or miss, man.
Oh, for sure.
Mooney's locked in with pretty much double-digit targets these days.
The Dolphins get the Jets.
God,
I see why you're considering these guys. And then you have the Colts playing the Patriots on Saturday, because that's right. Saturday games start next week. So the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, Pittman's going to see J.C. Jackson all game long, probably.
Yeah, and he probably has the worst matchup of all of them.
Yeah, I would definitely. It would be. I'd probably say Mooney 1A, Parker 1B. And then Claypool just behind those two guys. And all three of them over Pittman.
Yeah, with that match.
Just for week 15.
Yeah. I think that's probably what I would go to. So, yeah, I would look to stash Devontae, you know, probably Mooney and Parker, or yeah. Mooney first, and then Parker would be next up after that.
Yeah.
Jalen Guyton or Josh Reynolds? For this week, I would probably go Josh Reynolds just because the guy's seeing a lot of targets. And
it's a hilarious picture.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Stuff all hanging out his mouth.
I appreciate it. So, I think that'll pretty much wrap it up. Week 14 is now officially in the books. Be sure to jump into our absolutely free Discord. You know, we got the DFS chat in there. Redraft, Dynasty, you know, keep saying every player props. All kinds of stuff going on in there. Chat's always lit. Always a lot of people talking in there. So, absolutely free. You know, I put a link in the description for every podcast. Or you can go to our YouTube channel, fantasyauthority.com, if you're listening to this on podcast. And you can, you know, there'll be a link in the description of that as well. Like I said, absolutely free. Love to see some more people in there, especially for the DFS side. You know, me, Maddie, and Ryan are all in there as well. So, you know, you want to hit us up, we can talk some DFS, you know, especially as things change. Friday tends to be a big news day for, you know, stuff coming out about players who are in, who are out. Some surprise, you know, names that maybe get put on COVID or whatever. So, but with that being said, I appreciate all the support this year. I cannot believe week 14 is already here. We are not even, we're a couple of weeks away from Christmas. And then shortly after that, we'll have NFL playoffs start, which again, it is truly one of my favorite, you know, stretch of like two or three weeks of the season of games, because you have everything so more condensed. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do things this year with the schedule, because I think if I remember correctly, we have a Monday night game this year on a wild card weekend, which I really, really hope that DK doesn't chop it up to be a Saturday slate, a Sunday slate, and a showdown slate.
They will.
Typically in the past, we had all just, you know, you get one around the 2 days. So I hope they don't do that, or else I'm going to be really frustrated. But they probably will, because, you know, they're greedy bastards. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that being said, I appreciate everybody checking out the show. I appreciate everybody checking out the video. I appreciate everybody rocking with us in chat tonight. We will see you guys again next week for the week 15 main slate breakdown. Hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. And we will catch you on the next one. We out!
We out!
Think you can tell me what to do? Who you're talking to? Well, you better get used to the way the war about. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah, that's a break, little man. Break it down. Dangerous, you know. Dangerous, you know. Think you're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man. Don't tell me what it's like to be half a man. It must break your heart to see what I am. What? That's a brace, boy. Yeah, that's a brace, little man. Break it down. Tell me what to do. You know who you're talking to. Just not one of me.